All right, everybody, this episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Cody H. Toaster and Ashley Vinson. Thank you guys so much for donating. We really appreciate it. They donated over at patreon.com/IHateHorror. Me and Joe just got back from seeing the Misfits reunited in New Jersey. It was insane. It was amazing. And I'm in desperate need of sleep very badly. So thank you guys for donating over at Patreon. Thanks to all the Patreon supporters. If you haven't received your Patreon stickers yet, we ran out. I'm going to include a little something as a thank you for waiting so long. There's a bunch of you. I'm ordering the new ones today. I just designed them. Thanks to our best friend, Barfany, which is like my favorite name ever. Obviously not her real name. Barfany, I think she's over on Instagram at BarfScabs, something like that. You can find her. That's a terrible plug. And also, I want to shout out, because I always forget to shout them out. I need to start recording the bumpers. But Tormented Teamster, go to IHateHorror.com/song. And you'll find, or you could just go to IHateHorror.com if that link is incorrect. And you'll find links to download the full song of our intro and to see the videos made by Timo of Tormented Teamster. That stuff is absolutely amazing. So make sure to go check his stuff out. He's a really good guy. And that's it, guys. This episode is Candyman. I think this might be, I don't know. I can't remember any episode we've ever done, so it's hard to say. But I'm pretty sure this is one of our only, me and Joe both agreed, 5-star movies. 5 stars from Joe. From Joe. All right, guys, that's a wrap. So, enjoy. I'm waiting for this to hit the intro. Candyman.
I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sinning kids at Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Toby Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Store computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to The Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
Hello everybody and welcome to The Horror Show. Show it dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Joe's showing me a video of a girl filleting a banana. She's doing a number on it. What's going to happen, though? It's World Star, so something...
Nothing. Her tongue's just, like, 9 feet long for some reason.
Oh, no. Ew.
Sean, there's nothing...
Oh, that's disgusting!
Nothing weird's going to happen.
Well, the banana broke off.
Well, I mean...
Oh, that's so fucking gross.
I'm kind of chubbed up.
Joe. Come on, man. The fuck you doing? Jesus Christ. Get off fucking Instagram. We hate all the same people, so. Oh, that picture fucking. All right, come on. Candyman. This is The Horror Show. We're doing Candyman. If there's a weird jump between voices, it's because I had to just edit out a giant chunk of shit. Candyman is a movie. Tri-star PolyGram movie. What year was this?
92.
What a year. I generally don't like the 90s, but these early 90s give me some nice memories.
I'm going to look up best horror of 1992.
A lot of the horror in that period had that similar vibe. Always like really like
urban setting, a lot of urban setting horror movies.
Tales from the Hood.
They took place in the city. A lot of like Chicago's, New York City type detective type stories. It was good.
92 was bad. 92 was bad.
But I think I liked them all. Was Rumpelstiltskin 92?
No, I think it was 95.
Oh, Jesus.
No, 92 is Stepfather 3.
Great.
Hellraiser 3. Alien 3.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Giggles.
Oh, my God.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. So Candyman is like cream of the crop here.
Yeah. And
I think I personally think Candyman was a near perfect film.
I'd put it up against anything in other years and still say it was one of the best.
I would agree. And also Candyman has a special place in my heart. So 92, I was second grade, third grade. I can remember seeing like Candyman on like the marquees,
Yeah.
It was also like right in our wheelhouse where like this is new. It's like Freddy was old.
Yeah.
Jason was old by this time. Like those are habits. Candyman was brand new while we were in elementary school. And like you could see the, it start to like steamroll and take effect. Like people would talk about it, saying his name five times, you know,
for sure. And it was definitely one where people didn't see it, but just spread the Candyman. Yeah, like, no doubt. Like
people I knew about talk Candyman about, before I seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, people were talking about Candyman killing you, but you're like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, you never saw it. That's crazy. Yeah, I didn't really think about that. It was a big time sleepover movie.
Yep.
I found. I remember that was the first time I saw it was at a kid's sleepover. You know, it never really struck me as a good movie though when I was younger. I remember watching it at the sleepovers. The lore was intense to Candyman for sure. It captured kids' imaginations for sure. Which is interesting. I don't know. Anyway, because it's a good movie, but it's not super. There's not a ton going on, but it's really story driven. It's
more
a good story.
It is most definitely more story driven.
It's a good story too.
But it is creepy.
It was weird
it's
that
still
it,
creepy.
Yeah, it's weird that it captured my imagination as much as it did.
The score in this movie is so underrated
for sure, and it's heavy.
It's heavy.
Yeah, it's in it. Like
Candyman's theme is
it sets the mood. Tone, yeah, exactly. For sure. Also, we ended up one of our friends, Rick, goes by the name Candyman in the fantasy league, the Candyman.
Why?
I don't know, because we watched this in high school and he was legitimately terrified of it. Oh. Like hid under a blanket. A high school boy. It's really weird. He was also terrified of Jeepers Creepers. He's very afraid of horror movies. It's actually kind of alarming. It's not real. He was terrified of Candyman. He hid. He went under a blanket and hid. And I remember...
This is honestly pissing me off.
But I also remember... I think that's why I kind of didn't care for Candyman for a while. Like, up until watching this, I would have probably told you, like, Candyman's not that great. But it was probably because... I was already watching some fucked up shit, and then this kid's crying over Candyman, and I was like, "Fuck this movie! This movie sucks." Like
that honestly, I'm with you. If I was watching this in a group setting, some grown ass man was hiding under a blanket, I'd be "Fuck you" and "Fuck this movie."
Yeah, it's not a good movie. Like, it's not that good. Like, it's not that scary. But looking at it through our perspective, it's a fucking great movie.
It's great. Yeah,
fucking phenomenal. Like. Blew me away, kind of.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I would have been very upset.
You were very sad. Yeah, Joe texted me during it. It was like, if you hate Candyman, I'll be devastated. it was crazy. It was really good. And I didn't want to talk about it actually until we did this because it was just really fucking good. The story's really good. There's some funny shit in it. There's some silly shit to make fun of, though. As there is with every horror movie.
Sure.
Almost every horror movie. I'm going to do the Dave Letterman pen.
Is that what he did?
Or is that what Jay Leno?
I've never watched either.
Maybe it might be found who I fucking hate, so I'm going to stop doing it.
Could be Carson.
Daly?
Johnny.
Oh. Old Carson Daly. All right, so you get the TriStar logo. Get the PolyGram logo. And
why are you so big on bringing that up? This is the second time you
brought it. It blew my mind. Why? Like, because it was like a time travel. It teleported me to the 90s. Okay. Like, those fucking companies can't exist anymore. And as much as I love 80s flicks, this 90s period, this early 90s period, definitely, I appreciate the aesthetic of it. It's just different. We get this monologue by old Candyman. He says, "They will say I've shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding? With my hook for a hand, I will split you from your groin to your gullet." Some serious shit.
Yeah.
Kick off the fucking movie that way. And we see a lot of bees. Cityscape.
Chicago.
Chi-town. Chi-town. Probably should have done this in Chicago.
I'm a little upset that I didn't go to the Caprini Green projects, which they tore down, but it could have gone to the area.
So it was real?
Caprini Green?
Yeah.
Oh, this notoriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's cool that that's built into it.
Dude, I don't have like the story 100% correct, but I do know that it was like super notorious for being very like one of the most dangerous housing projects in America. And they built some kind of wall to like prevent gang violence from like other gangs coming in. But what happened was the people from the outside couldn't see inside. So when the cops would patrol, they would just get shot at and have no clue where it was coming from.
Oh my God. That's fucking insane. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. And actually this premise of Candyman actually did come from a Chicago crime of a guy crawling through the mirror.
Yes.
And stabbing the woman.
Yes.
Which is fucking insane.
Terrifying.
Fucking insane.
What a fucking nightmare.
Truly a fucking nightmare. Like, I mean, there's a lot of fucking
how can you feel safe?
Anywhere.
Just knowing that some guy can crawl through your mirror.
There might be
a tunnel.
Your medicine cabinet pops out and a guy's just like, "I'm here to kill you."
Most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
You're right. Strangers don't have shit on a guy crawling through your medicine cabinet. Like, how is it even possible? Like,
you just go to get Tylenol and there's a fucking man waiting for you? Holy shit, dude.
I'd honestly be like, good for you, man. Like, good on you.
You just
this is the best crime I've ever seen in my life. You're my favorite murder. All right. And then Candyman's last words are, "I came for you."
And the bees take over the Chicago skyline.
Yeah, I thought it was just smoke. And I was like, wait, that might have been bees.
Bees.
Yeah. It's a lot of bees. We kick off with Ted Raimi.
Yeah.
Looking ugly.
Looking skinny.
As usual.
Shit.
He's not a handsome man, though.
Hit the gym.
He does need to hit the gym. He never has, though. Or will. And she's telling us about the Candyman. She's telling us the story about, we don't know who, some gal.
It's just an urban legend.
Yeah, she's telling us a story of the Candyman. If you look in the mirror, you say Candyman 5 times. He appears behind you.
Mm-hmm.
In this story, Raimi does it 4 times. This girl's narrating the story, and we're kind of getting it played out.
It's like a flashback.
Yeah. Raimi does it 4 times. His girlfriend does it the 5th. She's dead. She also tells us that it killed the baby, but Billy got away. But all of his hair was gray and he went crazy. You hear somebody say, who told you that? My roommate's boyfriend knows him. So obviously the old urban legend thing. And then we meet our leading lady,
Helen Lyle.
Helen Lyle.
Played by the great Virginia Madsen.
Yep.
She's, total babe, in my opinion.
I'm with it. I mean, yeah. She's what I call a subtle babe, which is my favorite.
Why subtle?
Because they get picked over. They get the girls with the big breasts get picked first.
Sean, her breasts are huge. Are you kidding me?
She's not like the Playboy model that they put in the movie. Like, she's an actress.
Okay.
And they teased her breasts a lot. It led when they showed them, I was like, I felt grateful. I really did. Because
feeling great.
Nudity in a horror film. I mean, have we seen nudity in a horror film in a while?
In a while?
Yeah. I don't know if there's been a movie recently.
I don't remember the movies we've done. It wasn't in Bats, I can tell you that.
It wasn't in X Giant the Wrath of
Paul Blart. Watch it.
So it's been a while since I've seen, I don't know. There's just something about it. And they teased it.
They go hand in hand.
They teased it. They do. And they teased it so much in this. And I was like, man, I wouldn't mind seeing those boobs. And I didn't think I was going to get them because they teased them so much. I was like, oh, okay, this is just going to be one of those movies where they just always cover them up. No, you got him.
Yeah, you got him.
It was great. Yeah. Fantastic.
But Michael Madsen was real pissed. He once stated he'd never watch one of her movies in case a boob comes out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's psychotic.
That's his sister.
Oh. I thought they were...
You thought they were married?
Yeah. That's his sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, why would you want to see that?
Right. No, I agree with him. You're the one that called it psychotic.
That's disgusting, Joe. You fucking freak. And we learn Helen is interviewing this girl who's telling the story, clearly doing some research on urban legends or the Candyman.
Yes.
Her friend Bernadette is doing the same. She'll be in this story, Bernadette. They're doing it together. They're doing this research together on the Candyman. Mm-hmm. They also, they work at the university, I think, or they're students. I don't know what the fuck they are, because later they get lectured by a professor. So, they go into this University of Chicago or whatever school it was. I don't know what it was. I just made that up.
She's a grad student.
She's a grad student, yeah. Another teacher is teaching urban legends. Second college we've dealt with that thinks that this is an appropriate course for college students. And it's Helen's husband, yep. Trevor. They have a strained relationship. And Trevor's clearly fucking one of his students.
Nothing's ever been more obvious. She knows.
From the jump.
Yeah.
She's like, what up with that girl? But Trevor's like, nah, don't fucking worry about it.
And then he corrects papers to like 4 a.m. Out of like every job to like blame staying late, that's you not one.
Literally go home and do it.
I was a teacher. Like that is, nobody would ever stay until 4 a.m. at the building.
Just correct papers. And how many teachers have you had that none of them ever got the papers graded on time?
No.
Like they'd be like, yeah, I'll have them to you tomorrow. You can get that shit for like another 3 weeks.
Nobody grades papers. It's fucking 4 a.m. Plus, how many papers would you have to grade?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that's Trevor. While they're working, they run into a cleaning woman at the school who seems to know a lot about the Candyman. Through this investigative work, Helen realizes that her apartment was part of the original projects, but converted. She removes the mirror in her apartment. I don't know how she figured this all out. She kind of figures this out pretty quickly. It's like really fast and furious, and I don't know how she does it. But she removes her own mirror and the medicine cabinet and pushes out the other one next door. And she's like, yeah. But I still don't know what she was trying to prove. Like, she was like, I think she was trying to prove maybe the whole mirror murder.
Okay.
That happened.
Well, I think she's trying to prove like the root cause of the urban legend
of Candyman. And she's saying, so it happened at that project. So the cleaning woman said it happened at that project.
Yeah.
But that project also happened to be her house.
It's convenient, for sure.
Very convenient, and she figures that out.
But I also think I don't think she thinks Candyman's real. She's trying to find out, why this would happen.
For sure. Which is another element about the story that was interesting. It seems like Candyman fed off of people knowing the urban legend.
No, he did. He says that.
Yeah.
They have to know
But this. They didn't really, like, it wasn't a, I don't know. How many Candyman movies are there?
3.
Flesh of the flesh.
Never seen the other one.
I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, Helen looks in the mirror. Bernadette's there. Bernadette's like, don't do this shit. Looks in the mirror. Does it 5 times. Like an asshole. You're asking for it.
Would you do that right now? You personally.
You know what, man? When she was doing it, it reminded me of like...
Bloody Mary?
It reminded me, yeah, of when I was a kid. And I'd be like, I don't give a shit. But when you get in front of that mirror in the dark...
Not doing it.
You're not doing it.
I don't give a shit what anyone says. I'm not doing it right now either.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, why risk it?
Why?
On the off chance that there's like a man behind your fucking mirror.
A man with a hook behind you from like the 1800s or whenever it was. I still don't know what
period. Or just some guy crawling through your medicine cabinet.
Or that. I mean,
it's possible. It's happened.
Yeah, so Helen does that, but... Jump scare of Trevor jumping into bed Like a cat.
Like an asshole.
Like a total asshole. He's like, I've been drinking. The last thing I'm going to do when I'm drinking is crawl around the house like a cat and then leap into the bed. I just barf all over. As soon as I impacted on the bed, I just throw up all over. So Helen and Bernadette, they decide they're going to go to the projects. Bernadette.
She's strapped.
Who's strapped?
Bernadette.
She's
got a gun. Yeah.
Oh. But she also doesn't want anything to do with this. She's like, this is fucked up.
No, that's why she has it.
Yeah. She's like, this is stupid. Like, what are we going to prove by coming here? She kind of has a point. What are they going to prove by going there?
Well, Helen's research, she found 25 other murders in the area mm-hmm. that are similar to Ruthie Jean, who was supposedly killed by Candyman. So they're just trying to investigate, like, the murders.
The other cool thing, man, this movie is really good. One of my favorite things is just the idea of the community in Caprini Green being 100% behind Candyman. Yeah. Not in support, but just he exists.
No, he's real.
He's real, and he's killing us. Terms with. Yeah, yeah, and they understand it. Yeah. They're like, why are you guys fucking around with Candyman?
I'm glad you said that because I love that aspect of
it's
it.
It's so
like,
good.
They're like, what are you doing?
You guys are fucking idiots.
Stirring the pot here.
Yeah, I loved it. Like, you're the only ones with any brains. And Helen's like, well, I'm just going to crawl through this fucking hole now and try and prove y'all wrong, even though all of you believe
yeah.
it. There's 200 of you, more than that, but hundreds of you that believe it here, and I'm just going to go prove you wrong. She doesn't. She proves I'm very right. Yeah. Helen pulls out a camera. She's taking pictures of fucking graffiti. I mean, in the off chance that Candyman's a B-boy, I guess. Look for his tag. Do you see a Candyman tag anywhere in here?
Wait, does have that big mural.
He does have that big mural, which is also stupid. But also, Helen's just taking pictures like an ignorant piece. Just people are poor, living in poverty, and she's snapping pictures of their doors. And they're like, can you please leave this alone? It's my fucking front. Yeah, I know my front door's spray painted. You don't need to remind me of it by taking fucking pictures. Fucking piece of shit. I fucking hated Helen, though. I did hate
her. They filmed that in the actual Caprini Green.
No shit, yeah. Really? Do you think they spray painted extra on it, though? That's a lot of spray paint.
Probably not.
That's scary. That's like a lot of
spray paint. I mean, even now when I was in Chicago, so we were driving through some like backwood part. Like,
yeah.
And they had murals and graffiti like literally on people's houses. And they had an ODB one, which he has no affiliation with Chicago.
Yeah,
it was like really well done, just on a random wall.
That's crazy. Because New York City is wiped of it.
Of the graffiti.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really cracked down.
They cracked down on it hard. Yeah. Now they think about it. Yeah, that's crazy. That's weird. I knew that was a big thing in the 80s where they cracked down on it. But yeah, if you think about New York City, there's no street art whatsoever. That's a big no-no. It's also cost so much money to get rid of. So I'm with Chicago. Just fucking leave it. It's fine. As long as you don't have pieces of shit like Helen taking pictures of it all day. Well, they go into what is Helen's room.
Mm-hmm.
But in this building. So it's identical to her place. They go through the same mirror. Of course, they're taking pictures of the mirror hole. Then Helen's like, I'm going through. And then Bernadette says the dumbest thing. The most sheltered thing. It's like when people say like, oh, are you doing the marijuana? Bernadette says, oh, you don't know what's on the other side of that. There could be some. What if someone's packing drugs in there? Packing drugs. Hey,
Bernadette.
Taking a fart. Packing the drugs. What the fuck are you talking about, Bernadette? Jesus Christ. And on the other side of the wall is a giant Candyman piece. It's his mouth, and the opening is the thing she came through, which is wild.
Yeah.
And she finds some razor blade candies on the candies filled with razor blade on the ground. Just a fucked up situation. But no Candyman. No signs of Candyman yet. They on their way out, they run into Vanessa Williams.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how many times I've seen Candyman. I think this is the first time I realized that was Vanessa Williams.
100%. I did not know she was in this. And she does great. She's
really good. Yeah.
As Anne Marie. She's got chops here, man. Her Anne Marie character's good.
She's a great. She's great. Yeah. As the mom. Yeah.
Emery also has a giant dog, the biggest dog in the universe, and she doesn't trust these two highfalutin assholes for 2 seconds. She's like, "Get the fuck out of here, get fucking lost." But she also thinks that, you know, because she's been mistreated before for being living in what is it called?
Caprini Green.
Because she lives there, she's been treated like shit. So she just assumes these people, like, because they're like, we're doing a study.
So it's not the same. It's not the Vanessa Williams that's a singer.
Oh, it's not?
Wait, I'm very confused.
Are we thinking of someone else?
Vanessa Williams, the one that was married to Rick Fox, is not the one from Candyman.
Yeah, the one that was in Eraser.
All right, so that's why I didn't know it was her.
Yeah.
All these years.
And that's why I...
Well, who the fuck is this Vanessa Williams?
Somebody who made a pretty penny by pulling the wool over the eyes of the people that made Candyman.
Oh. Oh, she's the one from New Jack City.
Oh. Dude. Whoa. So one Vanessa Williams is really good actress. And the other one sings, and they put in movies. So I was right. I don't like the other Vanessa Williams that much.
You don't like Rick Fox's ex-wife?
Correct. I don't like the one in Eraser.
You don't like the one in Melrose Place? Wait, no, that's this one. All right, anyway.
Jesus Christ. As usual, always breaking down the facts correctly, not making assumptions.
So where were we?
Emery's upset because Candyman's real. And these two rich assholes showed up and were like, we're here to prove Candyman's false and you're all stupid.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, well, go fuck yourself and get the fuck away from me because then Candyman's going to kill me. Cut to a dinner with...
Professor Purcell.
Professor Fartface.
Yeah.
Professor Perfartface. And it's tired, so guys. It's late. Oh, shit. My laptop's about to die. Helen, her husband, Bernadette. Maybe Bernadette's husband. I can't remember.
No. It's just the four of them.
Okay. And this guy is their professor for their graduate class that they're having dinner with. He's in a ton of stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's that British guy. But in this one, he has disgusting long hair that literally made me nauseated. At this dinner, Helen, the woman who wants to know everything about Candyman, learns that her professor wrote a better Candyman paper 10 years prior. And he's like, did you
read it? After she's like, we're going to bury you.
She's like, which is weird. Super weird to say. And then he's like, did you read my paper? And she's like, well, of course not. Jesus Christ. And he's the Candyman expert, the candy mangler expert.
That he is.
He breaks down Candyman hardcore. He's the son of a slave, I believe.
He is.
And an artist. They came up in high society somehow. Mm-hmm. And he became an artist. He grew up in high society. He fell in love with a wealthy woman. She became pregnant with his baby.
White woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pregnant, a wealthy white woman. Somebody who he's painting.
That's relevant because it was the Civil War era.
Correct. So. Yeah. And he... I just said like... He was painting her portrait when they fell in love. Had a baby. Father pissed.
The white woman's father.
Yes, pissed. Paid a group of guys... to go out, kill Candyman.
Cut off his painting hand and replace it with a hook.
Yeah, they chased him out to Cabrini Green and sawed off his hand. Then they said, you know what? That's not enough. And for some reason, there was a bee farm nearby.
Apiary.
What is it called?
Apiary.
Apiary? Yeah. That's a word they use, but I was like, I'm not looking that up. A bee farm.
Yeah, that's...
Essentially. Where they decided to smear him with honey and the bees stung him to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, they were like, you know what? One more thing. Let's bring him back to Cabrini Green and light him on fire and sprinkle his ashes across Cabrini Green.
Yeah.
Fucking devastating way to go. Also, I was really just, I couldn't get over the idea, because he's like, they went into the beehives and took the honeycomb and smeared it all over them, and the bees stung them to death. Those bees probably stung the fuck out of whoever took the honeycomb, too. There was probably two deaths that day.
Without a doubt.
Some idiot who was like, I'm going to kill this guy with bees. And he was also dead. They're like, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, that's the story of Candyman. Helen goes back.
Caprini Green.
To visit Anne Marie, but she's not there.
She meets a young boy named Jake.
Old Jakey.
I love this kid.
Jake is a fucking tight. Jake says something that I'm going to get tattooed on me at some point, and I will tell you what it is because I'll fucking love it.
Is it Sweets to the Sweet?
No, it's written in shit on me. No. But one thing that pissed me off is that Helen manipulates this kid pretty hardcore into getting the information she needs by basically being like, are you afraid of Candyman? This kid believes in Candyman, by the way. She's like, are you afraid of Candyman?
As he should.
Yeah. Are you afraid of Candyman? And the kid's like, no, which obviously he is. She's like, well, if you're not afraid, you should show me where he lives. It's like, bitch, take it easy. He's a fucking kid. And also, he's like, if I tell you, he's going to fucking kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking terrifying. Unless you're too scared.
Again, like you said before, this is like very story driven because we have not seen Candyman.
No,
this movie's been out for a while.
Yeah, it's awesome. Which is not usually the case when they try and hide the main character. They tell the story of a handicapped kid that went into this bathroom and his hair turned white. But the kid, Jake's telling the story and he's like, they found the kid holding himself. Talking about holding his dick.
Yeah.
Because he was in the bathroom.
It was tough.
Candyman struck. Yeah. And then he goes, but he's alluding to the dick getting cut off. And he says, this is the line that I, not this line, the second part of this line is what I'm going to get tattooed on me. Jake goes, but they found it floating in the toilet. And he says, the best line ever. Can't fix that. Better off dead. Fucking,
you want that tattooed on you?
Straight up.
When people ask you about that, it goes about this little kid's dick that was cut off in Candyman.
Yeah, maybe that's a bad idea. I'm just saying, if my dick's cut off, I'd rather be dead.
Yeah, of course. Dude, but you can fix it.
You can pretty quickly.
So back on. Full transplant. Ice. They did do a full. I did hear that.
So
good for them.
So it'd be a bad tattoo.
Well, yeah, I would not recommend it.
Even the tattoo artist would be like, come on, man. None of this is true. Anyway, asshole Helen goes in to the fucking bathroom.
Which you can smell this bathroom.
From a mile away. And also, for some reason, Helen's surprised at the an abandoned bathroom in Chicago.
Caprini Greens. Like,
she's lucky there's not a body in there.
Definitely.
Like homeless people shooting up. Like she's like, it's just cleared out. Like the homeless people don't even want the shelter. Like they're like, fuck it. It's disgusting.
They do a good job of making it look disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I felt nauseous.
Yeah, including the shit written walls.
It says Sweets to the Sweet written with poop.
Oh no, it's disgusting. She opens the toilet and
also, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Sweets to the Sweet. I'm gonna Google that.
She opens the toilet and it's full of bees.
Yeah.
And she flushes it, which I don't know what's more surprising, that the bees go down the toilet.
The toilet works.
Or the toilet works.
it's a Hamlet reference.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I just read Hamlet. Don't remember that at all.
Candyman walks in. You don't remember it because it's written in backward bullshit.
It was a really good book.
It wasn't. It's fine. I mean, it's a classic, whatever, but like, it's not good now. It's not 2018 good. Fake Candyman walks in, which is crazy because he looks just like real Candyman.
He does look like real Candyman, which makes sense because Candyman is real and they all know what he looks like.
That's fucking very true. That's very true. He goes, I hear you're looking for Candyman, bitch. Well, you found him. I like this Candyman. Well, I do and I don't.
Well, he beats the shit out of
him. Yeah, I mean, I like this Candyman vibe. I like calling yourself Candyman. Be like, I'm the juggernaut, bitch. Okay. I'm the Candyman, bitch.
Do you remember when they made the juggernaut
say that
in the movie.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
Buzz loved that movie. Made me sick in my stomach.
That honestly was so insane that they did that. That was almost a slap in the face to comic book fans, in my opinion.
Like, yeah, except Juggernaut is one of the coolest characters ever. Oh, and it was right. Just, was that Vinnie Jones, is that his name?
Yes.
With a big stupid metal slab on his head.
Yeah, well.
But he wasn't jacked.
It's like the Lou Ferrigno Hulk.
At least Lou is like
a guy painted.
Well, dude, honestly, I'll take that over the Juggernaut.
I guess I would take that over Juggernaut. Who else was like that, though? There's another superhero that it was just a guy, and you were like, fuck. Like, not even anything. Oh, fuck, who was it? I can't remember. Whatever. It pisses me off. Some of those early superhero movies are rough.
Do you think Venom looks good?
No.
Nah, me neither.
No, not at all. No.
I'll still see it, but
why does Tom Hardy talk like a fucking asshole?
Why?
fucking Eddie Brock or I mean, whatever.
He ruined Bane.
Huh?
I mean, he ruined Bane. So.
There's a guy. That's what I'm talking about.
Bane?
Yeah. It was a guy that was just kind of jacked.
Right.
Bane is a fucking monster.
Because he has a drug that shoots through him and just like pumps him up.
They fucked up Bane so hard, man. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Fucking books. Also, how come DC movies just can't get it fucking right? Like, you fuck up Bane. Fuck. Like, the Bane voice, remember? It was so bad they had to go edit all the audio?
Yeah.
To clean it up. And it was still terrible.
Should be fired.
And then on top of it, then they go in and have to CGI all fucking Superman's scenes because they had to reshoot everything. So many fucking DC fans are going to email me. Stick to horror. Candyman beats the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Or fake Candyman beats the shit out of her.
Like, I mean, she is swelled.
Eyes swollen shut, which is crazy because then it's like a day later and she's like, well, my eye healed pretty well.
And it did.
It did. She gets out of the hospital. She's pretty fine now. She gets the photos from Bernadette, who saved the camera.
They believe the guy that assaulted her is...
They think he's
responsible for the killings.
Perpetrating the urban legend.
Yeah. And that the people that were killed were actually done by him.
Correct. But we get the introduction of Drake's dad.
Drake's dad?
Yeah, I think he dresses like Drake's dad.
Tony Todd?
Like a fur.
Sean,
dude, you put that out.
Biggest fucking asshole. That fucking album cover. What's his name? Audrey Green? Aubrey Green?
Is that
him? No, Dennis Graham. Dennis Graham.
Yes, Dennis Graham. That fucking mustache that he has. And he's on the cover of several albums? Two albums? Or no? Oh, no, just one album.
No, just that one, More Life.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Drake sucks.
And did you listen to Drake's dad's album?
Not yet. It's coming up.
Why were you looking him up then?
Oh, because I was looking up his brother. He was the bass player for Sly and the Family Stone. I was like, oh, Drake's dad released an album in 2006. And I saw the album cover. I was like, this guy's a fucking asshole. Big stupid mustache.
And I was going to sing a song.
Please don't.
Todd's plan. Todd's plan. Sorry. Anyway, it's Todd's plan. Tony Todd is in the Drake's gonna sue the shit out of us. Todd's plan. We meet Tony Todd, Candyman, and I don't know if I want to say this. Maybe like one of the best introductions for a horror character, horror villain.
The parking garage scene is one of the best scenes ever. It's
dope.
It's perfect because that, again, the score complements it so well. It's just like, I can't even describe it. So it's like, nah, nah. And he's not talking with his mouth.
No, he's talking.
It's like overdubbed. Like,
yeah.
And she's paralyzed with fear. And like she crying. has that tear dripping down mm-hmm. slowly, but she's not like sobbing. It's just like
the Get Out tear.
It's pure fear.
Yeah.
And I agree. Probably the best introduction to a villain ever because it built up to this point and you're like, maybe it is an urban legend. Like maybe it was this guy. No, it's him.
And he's fucking here.
It is perfect. And honestly, Virginia Madsen is wonderful in that scene because she sells it with just her eyes.
Yeah.
Like paralyzed with fear.
Helen, I came for you.
Telling her to be my victim.
Oh, dude, it's fucking wild, dude. Yes. And his whole outfit is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it kind of looks, I don't know how to explain it. It's obviously a period piece, like something that was worn back then. Mm-hmm. But it's got this vibe of almost like a 70s, like old school pimp type look. But it's not at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's not colorful. It's brown.
Right.
But it's
smooth.
It's smooth. Yeah. It's got like, so as rough as it is, it's also got this smoothness to it. And man, it's fucking crazy.
So basically, Candyman, besides terrifying the shit out of her, he's pissed that she's like discrediting
him. Candyman's like, I heard you're writing shit.
And like saying I'm not real.
Yeah, you're talking shit.
And now he's like, you have to make up for this. Yeah. You have to shed innocent blood.
Yeah, and I am the writing on the wall, the whisper in the classroom. Super fucking weird scene. Helen's paralyzed. And
then she wakes up covered in blood in Vanessa Williams' apartment.
Listening to someone screaming next to a cut off.
A decapitated dog.
Gore in this? Solid.
Even Candyman is like bloody.
Yo, that was gross as shit. It's
gross.
It's gross. Because they're like nails popping. Like, it's a hack job. It's a shitty job. They made a terrible hook for him. And that's crazy. Walks into Anne Marie's room where a baby is. You don't know. Turns out it's missing. But you think maybe Helen might have murdered this baby. Anne Marie attacks Helen. And Helen fucking cleaves her.
Yeah.
Which was fucking caught me off guard there for a minute. Like, she's got a cleaver and fucking whacks Vanessa
right in the shoulder.
Yeah, man. This movie fucking rolled. Like, at this point, I was like, this movie might be the best movie I've ever seen. Cops come in the nick of time. And I just like the way they did everything in this movie, man. There wasn't a lot of cliche shit. Because part of me was like, whoa, what are they going to do to Anne Marie? Like, I figured they would do, like, you know what I mean? And Helen would somehow get out of this, even though she just cleaved a woman in the arm. And the cops are like, get this fucking woman out of here. And they grab Helen. And nothing happens to Anne Marie, thank God. Yeah. And it's a cool scene.
No, and then she's trying to get bailed out by her husband.
Yeah.
But it's like 4 a.m. and he's plowing some student.
Get some strange.
Yeah.
Some strange. She's getting cleaned up at the police station too. And the woman's like, take off your brassiere. Brassiere is the weirdest fucking word.
Yeah, just say bra.
But even then.
It's like calling a cough drop a throat lozenge. You're just being an asshole.
Pass me a lozenge. Yeah,
cough drop.
So much worse.
Stop.
And then they let her out on bail, which is absurd because there's a missing child and this woman 100%.
Just kill the dog.
Kill the dog. And there's a missing baby that they think is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. She's also getting some visions too while she's locked up. She's seeing some weird shit, the baby with the hook and some weird shit. She's listening to the news at home when she gets there, and it's the worst news anchor I've ever heard in my life. Did you notice? Did you pick up on how poorly she was talking? It was weird. I think it was on purpose, but it was really weird.
Yeah.
At one point, she goes, "I guess we'll just have to see what happens." What the fuck? What kind of sign off is that?
Stay tuned or don't.
Like we said, Trevor got outed for fucking his side piece, but she don't care.
No, she has way bigger fish to fry.
But then she doesn't, because later on she's like escaping a mental institution. It's like, Trevor, we need to discuss.
Keep your fucking priorities straight.
Also, Helen has now resorted to smoking Marbreds and pounding buds. Butt heavy.
I do not blame her. Dude, I don't blame her one bit. We're both people who have quit tobacco. I would, as soon as Tony Todd appeared to me in a garage, I would
throw in a fat one.
It would be the first place I stopped.
I guess you're right.
What else are you gonna do? You're like, well, it does, nothing matters.
She's going through pics on one of those. I mean, this is technology reminiscent of like an overhead projector, transparencies and shit. Projector. I don't know what you call it. It's a carousel.
Yeah, an overhead projector.
The one she's using, the slide thing. The slide projector. Yeah. And she notices Candyman in the shadows of the pic. Mm. She also somehow zooms in, which I don't think is a feature.
Very impressive.
Those things barely shone a light. In her bathroom, she's hanging out in the bathroom. Hook comes out. She's on the run. But he is everywhere.
Yeah.
He's not real, but he is. He can just move. Mm-hmm. I love it. I fucking love it. Believe in me. Be my victim. I have the child. Allow me to take you to where he will die in your place. So that's the option she has. I'm going to kill the kid. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
She has to make that decision. He cuts her neck. But as this is happening, Bernadette is outside with flowers being like, honey, which, by the way, your friend might have killed a baby.
Yeah, maybe
relax on the flowers. It's like the Chris Benoit tribute. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wait till you get the facts.
Yeah. We rushed into the tribute and it was weird. It was fucking awkward for everyone.
Wait, can I interrupt? And you can cut this out because this is mostly a conversation just for you.
Yeah.
Are you aware? I wish Paul was here to bring this up. Are you aware of the Wikipedia entry?
Yes.
So like it was updated that night before like the news even broke that it was a murder suicide.
Yeah.
Why?
It was a kid who said he did it to a ton of stuff.
That's the theory.
That's what happened. The kids talked about it.
That
kid was arrested and like questioned, being like, "What did you know about this?" And he was like, "From like a kid from like Tennessee." So I have no idea.
It was just a ridiculous coincidence.
Yeah, he said he did it to a ton of pages.
You believe it?
No, not at all. Obviously, Kevin Sullivan.
It had to be.
Are you aware of me and Buzz's theory of Kevin Sullivan?
What?
Well, first of all, we came up with this. I didn't know there was a conspiracy theory that Kevin Sullivan killed everyone.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy theory.
No, I know that.
We did not know that when we came up with this. So, I mean, not that this is a good conspiracy theory, but this is fucking ridiculous. Our conspiracy theory, though, was that Kevin Sullivan... Wait. What the fuck happened? Kevin Sullivan killed... or maybe Chris... fuck, now I can't even remember. I should call Buzz. Chris Benoit maybe... There was a face swap, like in Face Off.
Okay, all right.
And
I'm sold.
And Chris Benoit is living...
As Kevin Sullivan?
As Kevin Sullivan.
I like it. I'm sold.
Okay. I mean, it makes no sense. I can't even explain it properly. Fuck, Buzz would probably know it like 100%. Anyway, so that's the story of Chris Benoit, my favorite murderer.
Nailed it again.
Not my favorite murder. But that was an awkward time doing a tribute for Chris Benoit. It's probably an awkward time bringing flowers to your friend who probably murdered a kid. Which, by the way, 100% what you should believe.
Yeah.
In this story. No one should believe that this woman did not do anything nefarious.
Agreed.
As a matter of fact, she might have actually done the beheading of the dog, right?
She had the cleaver
in her hands. Yeah, so it's fucked up. But Candyman cuts her neck. Bernadette's at the door. She finally breaks in and finds... Helen, but she sees Candyman.
Yeah.
And she sees him. Like, I did not know that that was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And she sees him. We hear Bernadette screaming. It's the most gruesome sounds of murder ever because we are hearing him. We know what he's doing.
He's hooking her.
He's doing the mutilator.
Yeah.
The old mutilator. One hook up the thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like the most grotesque fucking sound, like just like this sloppy, just tearing her apart. Trevor walks in next and we see. Trevor walks in too. We also see Trevor walk in and be like, oh my God. Cut to Helen waking up in bed, handcuffed.
Yeah, she's in a psych ward.
No, not yet. She's in her bed, which also made no sense. They just threw her on her bed because she runs out and sees Bernadette dead on the ground. Yeah, and Trevor hugs her for some reason. I know why Trevor was hugging with her, because he was like, thank God. I can fuck free that food. Side piece. I'm free. What?
He was doing that anyways.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't really have had a big... Yeah. He was like, this is like an idiot. Believes that I stay at school till 4 a.m. Moron. Bunch of Candyman monologues, basically just kind of talking about being trapped in this prison and being a rumor. Again, very story driven, but not a lot to discuss there. She gets locked up in the psych ward where Candyman is pissing her off there too,
yeah,
asking for a kiss. And like, it's actually a lot like the new Nightmare scene,
mm-hmm,
which honestly to me, they might have borrowed a bunch from this.
Sure.
Like, he's floating over her in a psych ward. They're like, inject it. I don't know. It's iffy. All I'm saying is Wes Craven is a thieving piece of shit.
Rest
just
in
kidding.
Peace.
RIP. That's a callback to when
I am well aware.
Shut up.
I think you edited that out so no one would remember it.
I don't know, because I released it publicly as like an extra. We didn't air that episode.
Which one?
The Wes Craven tribute?
No, I knew that you released that, but there was another time when you have like a 15-minute rant, just like calling him thief and a piece of shit. And you just edited it out of the episode because me and Paul were on it, and we were both like, "We should just stop. He just died."
All right, perhaps. So this one's gonna be edited too.
No, it's not.
Nah, I don't really do that anymore. So Helen
hit me all the time.
Huh?
You said it to me all the time.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to be a good guy. I edited me a lot too. It wasn't just you. I just didn't tell you. I was like, hey, I'm editing this thing out that I sent. I was just like, oh my God, that's horrifying. Helen's talking to a shrink who's named Delta Burke. I think it's not Delta Burke, but that's what I heard. He also reveals that she's been in care for over a month.
A month.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
And Helen's like, do you really think I need these? Well, Helen, everyone assumes you've murdered somebody. So a baby and your best friend, I think you do need it.
Yes.
And fucking Helen, man, she's like, I'll prove to you he's real. I'll call him. And she looks in the mirror and says Candyman 5 times.
And guess what happens? It works.
It does.
It kills the fuck out of this guy.
Which was surprising. I was surprised about that.
Really? Showed up every time anyone said it.
Yeah, except the first time she said it, where he waited forever to show up in a parking garage.
That's true.
Like, I thought with her, he was kind of just tied up at Cabrini Green. Yeah. A lot of people to scare over there. And they're the only people that believe him.
Right.
Which is why he only hangs out over there. So, okay. A lot of cool theories about Candyman, you can kind of think. Like, was it because she started believing in it that, I don't know.
They showed up?
Yeah.
But she didn't start believing in
him. I guess.
She got beat up by some other guy called the Candyman. It actually did the total opposite.
He's like, fuck, I just have to go. Yeah. I can't wait for the dramatic point when she believes in me. She's never going to believe me. The fucking guy's fucking up my reputation. And yeah, Candyman shows up, fucks that guy up pretty good. Pretty great kill scene.
Yes, and Helen escapes.
And Candyman frees her.
Yeah.
Candyman cuts her fucking ropes. Which, are they ropes or are they fucking handcuffs? I don't remember.
It can't be ropes. It's fucking 1992.
You're in a psych ward. Here's some rope. Tie her hands up. Yeah, man. Candyman frees Helen. She comes out the window.
She goes home. To Trevor.
Yeah.
It was kind of just like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be here.
Yeah,
you're clearly escaped and a menace to society. He's also living with the student.
They've remodeled the house. The house
it's a month. It would take me, it's only been a month. It would take me so long to do
that. I've been divorced for quite a bit of time now, and my house looks exactly the same. I haven't done anything.
A month.
I'm waiting for painters still. It's a fucking nightmare. And these two have torn the house to shreds, and they're painting it together. And this hoe, oh, this hoe is painting. She's painting. And the woman's like, Trevor! Like, that's the side piece. Yeah. It's like, Trevor! Because Helen's just like, you son of a bitch. And Trevor comes out and is like, what's the matter, sweetie pie? You make another boo-boo? Don't talk to anyone. Like, don't talk to
Trevor's
anyone.
Face is so obnoxious.
I hated Trevor so much. Also, my worst nightmare. This is my worst nightmare coming to fruition. Imagine, you know, your wife. She murders people. You're going to move on. She comes home.
Yeah.
Escaping a psych ward with your new piece there.
That's your biggest nightmare?
Yeah, it's probably my biggest.
Really?
I mean, maybe not those. Whatever. I'm making a lot of claims. Less this episode. It's 11:47.
Couldn't be lower on my worry list.
But Helen's in some serious shit, and this is probably the last thing she needs to worry about. And, like, she's actually, like, this scene, she's talking to Trevor. She's like, you're ready to move on. It's like, come on, lady. You're going to jail forever. Yeah.
Helen, so she goes to Caprini Green.
Yeah, to try and figure out this ghost story instead of getting a defense team, which...
I mean, well, who's going to help her at this point?
Anybody. I mean, she definitely killed those people, though.
Yeah.
Inside the abandoned building, Candyman is laying on a table. I don't know why. He's just taking a nap.
Just lounging.
But she has her own hook. She stabs him good, but it don't do jack shit.
Yep.
Helen, you came to me. And Candyman's crying in this scene. Did you notice that?
He is.
And he says, if she surrenders to him, the child will be unharmed.
Yep. And he offers her immortality.
Yep. And he's saying, you're going to be my legacy. You're going to join me in my lore. People will talk about our crimes forever. Fucking, I love this. Mm-hmm. This is so fucking tight. Like, I love this. Like, she's an extension of the folklore now. Like, the woman that fell in love with Candyman and joined him and committed crimes for him. And, oh, man, I fucking love it. I fucking love it so much. And now probably an iconic scene.
Ribcage full of bees.
Ribcage and the mouth full of bees, which is the most horrifying
thing. There is nothing that would piss me off more than somebody trying to kiss me with a mouth full of bees.
Oh, dude, they're like coming out. It's so fucking vile. Oh,
do you think he actually had bees in his mouth?
They did. I was reading something. Of course, not enough to tell you the
exact. I could have looked that up too.
Listen, we don't fact check here. You know what? A million shows, all these other fucking shitty horror podcasts that are out there, all they do, I mean, like, this is where we get our facts too. We get it from Wikipedia, IMDb, blah, blah, blah. These people talk about them, though, like, as if they're in the industry. You're not in the fucking industry, okay? We don't fact check because we don't fucking need to. Like, go check out Wikipedia. Go read about it. We know enough to get your interest in it. Anyway, point of all that rant was Tony Todd's interest in this. Well, first of all, they were trying to get Eddie Murphy or somebody to be Candyman. Interesting. I think it was Eddie Murphy. I don't know if I typed it out.
Should have been Luke Gossett Jr.
Should have been. God's plan. Luke Gott.
Now that's a good one.
Got it. Anyway, so it was like one of those people. But anyway, Tony Todd also auditioned and said he really was interested in it. People told him not to do it because they felt he'd be typecast as just this guy forever. Mm-hmm. Which, did he?
Yes.
Yes. 100%. He said it, what also drew him to it was stuff, this kind of work with bees, I guess, had just never been done before, this kind of stuff. So I think the mouth thing was a brand new, I mean, I haven't seen any movies as of late using it either, but I think it was a very new special effects technique that just kind of hadn't been used before.
So it wasn't real bees?
No, it was real bees.
But how can that be special effects? Like, it's like just some guy shoving effect. Fucking bees in his mouth.
Well, because to do
nobody's that, ever done it before. To do that fucking without, stupid.
To do that without getting harmed took probably a great deal of skill.
He's putting bees in his mouth. There's no skills in that. Don't you just spray bees?
with that smoke.
Because every time, they just get sleepy. You can definitely, they get sleepy. So you can put them in your mouth. I'm not impressed at all, Tony.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Dude, I see this guy on TV, just cover. He's just a fucking asshole, and that's all he does in his life, just cover himself with bees. He always tries to break like the record how many bees he can fit on him. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I don't see him on TV all the time. Dude,
it's on like every channel.
What a clip. We really need to get to fucking sleep. He's on every channel. Imagine if every channel is just this guy covered in bees being like, I'm going to break the record today. Just
adding one more bee to him. Point is, that guy sucks. I'm not impressed. Like, if he was doing it without spraying the bees, now that's a fucking feat.
Yeah, and I mean, there's definitely a prop involved because, like, it looks like it, like the bees are hanging out of his mouth a little bit, like they're protruding, almost like it's his tongue,
right?
Kind of. So it's definitely some type of prop he's using in his mouth. His mouth is kind of weird, but I mean, it's still crazy. I love it. It's fucking incredible.
Did I ever tell you I owe Paul $200 for a horse game? But one of my go-to moves was, because we played when we worked for the town.
Yeah.
There's a huge dumpster that had the world's biggest wasp nest that I've ever seen. And one of the shots I would do was hit the wasp nest with the basketball and then stand there and shoot it. So if I made it in, Paul, I'd have to go next with all the wasps coming in.
Why do you owe him $200?
Because he beat me every time.
Because you just kept trying to make that shot. Oh, that's fucking good. Oh, that's fucking funny as fuck. So he kisses her. You're mine now. It's time for a new miracle. And he takes the baby. I thought he was reneging on his deal.
Mm.
But he's not.
No.
Helen wakes up. No bees. And a big sign that says, it was always you, Helen.
Mm.
And on the mural, she already looked at. There's a woman that looks
just like her.
Looks just like her.
So she's
the woman that he fell in love with.
I love it.
Great.
Love that part of the story.
I was watching the Celtics game at this point, so notes are kind of shoddy here.
I also was too. It was a good game.
Great game. Can we just recap the end?
Very close.
Very close game. It was great. I wanted Philly to win.
Me too. Never say that ever.
I never would ever say that.
But they're fun too.
Yeah.
Can't
trust the process. Helen climbs atop the bonfire pit because she's hearing a baby crying. The bonfire pit was something we saw at Caprini Green earlier. It was just this.
I think they do it like for like New Year's celebration.
They said it was a party they were having, and it was just this. I mean, it's like as tall as the building. It's a giant pile of garbage. She hears a baby crying from it, so she climbs up. Little Jake, watching from his window, he sees her climbing, but he doesn't see her. All he sees is what she's carrying, which is a hook.
Mm.
And he's like, Candyman just went in there. Let's light it on fire. And the entire project comes out, and they are so ready to kill what they think is Candyman inside. Now, also, they are having a ball out there, and you'd think she would have heard and been like, what up?
Just me,
idiot Helen, hanging out in here trying to get this baby, out of here. They don't, man, and they burn that bonfire.
Yeah.
It's wild. Also, Candyman is legitimately Helen's grabbing the baby, and all of a sudden Candyman shows up and is like, I knew you'd come. Well, yeah, you put a baby in there. Jesus Christ.
She crawls through, like, it's literally like a maze. I mean, it shouldn't be that complicated. It's just a bunch of wood.
Yeah. It'd be pretty easy.
But she saves the baby. And then dies.
He says, we're already dead. Like, trying to convince her to stay. But she gets out. She stabs Candyman with a flaming stake. She's crawling out of the bonfire. Oh, dude. And she's catching on fire. Her fucking back's on fire from a piece of wood that fell on her. It's crazy. Again, didn't go with the trope. She doesn't get out unharmed. She doesn't die valiantly saving the baby, really. I mean, she does, but not like, here's the baby, I'm going to go into the fire. Like, she has a gruesome
she's fucking burnt death.
Like, she gets out, almost saves herself.
And but she still succumbs fucking to dies. It. Yeah.
Yeah. It's brutal. The flames are going. She gets out. He screams, "Come back to me." She gets out, man. Her hair's on fire and she is looking rough. She got no hair. Hair burned off. This movie's fucking phenomenal. Cut to Helen's funeral. No one's fucking there, of course, because she's a murderess piece of shit. Even though she saved the baby. So I guess she only murdered one person. It's still enough. Are you still a murderous piece of shit if you only murder one person?
I mean, Candyman did it.
Yeah, but through her.
Right. But I mean...
Maybe Candyman did do it to her.
It wasn't her free.
Candyman did do it to her.
Yeah.
Because Candyman was there.
But Jake and Vanessa Williams pay respect.
Props, man. Oh, well...
Yeah, but they bury the hook with her.
Which is not respectful. Do not do that. Wait. That's almost as bad as
the bat
necklace. Yeah. No, but this scene was awesome. So no one's at the funeral, just the husband, Lyle. Trevor. Lyle. Oh, that's her last
name. Last name, yeah.
It's crazy. Her funeral's totally empty. And then you see it's not just Jake and Anne Marie. It's the entire project.
Yeah, they know what's happened.
Because everyone's... It's such a fucking great visual. No one wants to honor Helen because they think she's a murderous piece of shit, except the people in the projects who know Candyman's real.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's a fucking hero.
Agreed.
Because she saved the fucking kid and we maybe killed Candyman in the process of her saving the kid. Candyman got trapped in the bonfire. He might be dead. That's dope. And then, Jake has Candyman's hook. Because it's got the ugly ass screws in it. Yeah. So it's Candyman. So they found it in the rubble, verifying that he might be dead. And they throw it in the grave with her.
Yeah.
Which again, not great. But
yeah, probably not the best way to pay homage.
No. And it ends up, but it helps helps Helen out in the afterlife.
Because it cuts to Trevor, who's devastated.
Devastated.
I mean, I almost feel bad for the guy. Like, I know
he was fucking around, right? But like,
he doesn't deserve to be murdered.
Doesn't deserve to be murdered, and that is sad. And also, he's realizing his side piece fucking sucks as his main squeeze.
Yeah, don't know what he got till it's gone.
You don't know what Helen Cook.
He's grieving
mainly,
and
he
just goes Helen. He says her name five times, very sadly,
and she shows up and kills him with Candyman's hook.
Yeah,
fucking awesome.
It is awesome.
It is awesome, but bad. I mean, Trevor. I mean, all he was doing.
Not punishable by death.
No, definitely not. And he understood he fucked up.
Yeah.
And this chick's out here making the shittiest dinner he's ever seen. You don't pass that shit up, man.
And then in Candyman's former dwelling.
Your wife's food is phenomenal.
Mine?
Yeah.
You're telling me?
Yeah. You wouldn't leave that? I mean, not that you would. What if the food sucked? But
then I'm fucking out of there. She knows.
But it's a selling point. You don't leave that. It's fucking phenomenal.
Right.
When you get to our age, you know, food's so important. It's like the only thing you look forward to.
That's a fact.
Because all I want to do is eat.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got some fucking shriveled up chicken on the fucking stove. So probably should have taken my own word of advice there, but I didn't. I'm Trevor. I'm not very happy. Anyway, so Trevor's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Candyman's former dwelling, there's a picture of Helen with her hair on fire.
Yeah. A girlfriend walks in, finds him destroyed. Trevor's fucking gutted.
Good shit. A plus movie, honestly.
That's Candyman. A plus.
Yeah. 5 stars? 4.5? Why are you shoving that up your nose? Very odd.
4.5. I might be a 5.
I might be 5 too. At the very least,
At some point, you just have to be like, that's a 5-star movie.
Yeah.
Because it's almost...
I'd watch it again tonight.
It's almost essential to me.
It is essential. And like I was just saying, I would watch it again right now. Somebody's like, hey, want to put on Candyman?
Sure. I think it's pretty underrated. Underrated.
I do too. I mean, everyone that knows about it loves it, but it's not right. Like said in the same breath as like the big names.
But I feel like it should be.
I would agree with that. I'd argue that.
I 100%. I mean.
MC Ren sampled the theme song, which is always a bonus.
Really?
He did.
In what song?
I forget the saga continues right before him.
Good old MC, man. All right, guys. So that's it for the horror show. Oh, we got to pick out our movies.
Yes.
For next 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks. All right. So we said we were going to do Killjoy, but we never did. We also have Jason Goes to Hell, but we're going to do the Jason soon. So maybe save that for then.
We're going to do all of them?
Serial Killer, July, Friday the 13th.
Wait, what? We're bringing it back?
Yeah. Figured. People love it. Like, I get emails constantly about that shit.
We have not done a...
We haven't done... So, I want to do a few things. We haven't done, like, a special.
Right, and, like...
And we used to do that shit.
Well, and every year we would do one where we'd watch all... Like a huge series. A huge
chunk. Yeah. So, I want to do Friday the 13th. July, there's a Friday the 13th in it. So, okay. Why not do it? Right? Celebrate the Friday the 13th that month.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
It's going to be miserable.
It's going to be miserable. Yeah, absolutely terrible. But also, somebody has requested we watch All the Wrong Turns.
Who requested that?
Tell me something.
You know damn well who did.
No, I really don't. I really don't. I really wanted to watch them. I think they're going to be terrible.
Is Elijah Dushku in all of them? Is she in any of them? I don't
know. But that might be a good one for like you, me, and Paul to do. I think you and me and Paul should do like the creature feature round table. We need a round table.
Mm.
That's not the threes, because that was the worst idea we've ever had in our life.
Well, it didn't help that we recorded in your basement that was 120 degrees.
Did we record them all there? That was like the
third part. No, that was part three. Yeah. It was fitting.
It was fitting, and it was miserable. Anyway, we'll come up with something with all of us. Let's do... So we've got some options here. Alone in the Dark.
Yes, I want to do Alone in the Dark. The one from 1980?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that. Or the Uwe Boll one.
Alone in the Dark. All right.
Was it 1980 or the
1985? No, it's not. No one has selected Uwe Boll's Alone in the Dark.
Should we do Alone in the Dark and Alone in the Dark?
Death Spa. Shock Treatment.
Say no more.
That's it.
Death Spa.
Okay. Which is interesting because both these people chose Alone in the Dark too.
It's interesting. They're lucky week.
They're lucky week. All right. Death Spa from Steven Taylor and Alone in the Dark from Brian Your City.
Oh, yeah.
Homie.
Yeah.
From Virginia, maybe?
Long time home.
Long time. He's not on Instagram, though.
No.
So I don't think so. He's on Facebook.
He's on Vero.
He's on Vero? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I did know that. And I should probably shout out whoever picked Candyman, because that was a dope pick. Candyman, Wayne Miller. Thank you for that. And let's see who we should punch in the face for recommending Bats. several people. Soul Reaper, Teddy.
Okay.
A.K.A. Blake. But I don't think I had his full name, so I don't know. I think he had emailed us and like Blake was in the subject line. So, all right. So Soul Reaper Teddy, aka Blake, and Wayne.
Okay.
Joe doesn't like you guys. Wayne Miller. All right, guys. So that's it. Next week we are doing Death Spa and
Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark. I am excited for Alone in the Dark. Have you seen it?
No.
Neither have I. Never seen one of those on my watch list. All right, guys. So that's it. Facebook.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. If you do, you can email me, Sean@IHateHorror.com. Check out Real Genre Fix on social media. That's the boy, man, that does our theme song. Great fucking song. You can find his links on our website, too. And that's it. I'm on Instagram and Snapchat @IHateHorror. You're on Instagram and Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. I'm Boognish1985 and Horror Show Joe.
That's it, guys. So, that's it. We gotta go to bed. It's fucking midnight.
I'm hurting.
For Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. Zombie getting sliced and diced.
and butcher. That's it, guys.